One of the greatest dangers of mankind today is when we take something that's timeless and we put a timeline on it. When you take something that's timeless, God's truth, and put a timeline on it. It's good for yesterday, but not for today. Can you see how you move into deception? And you never want to take that which is timeless and put a timeline on it. Well, that's old. No, it's timeless. That's why I tell people, I'm not old, I'm timeless.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message that he gave on Mother's Day sometime back, but the message is appropriate today and every day. It's a message on words that are unspoken. That's right. We have different ways of communicating with each other, not just verbal. For example, sometimes the silent treatment can speak volumes. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Words Unspoken.
Well, happy Mother's Day. We're just going to celebrate motherhood today. Because I think outside of Jesus, the one person that will love you and believe in you the most is your mother. Isn't that right? You can be a mafia, gangster, or a terrorist. And she still thinks the sun rises and falls on you. I remember when Abby came home from grade school one day, and she brought her report card, and it had some bad things on the report card. It said, Abby has been misbehaving. And my wife, Anna, looked at that, and her first response was, we need to replace those teachers. They say irrational things, but they still love you. You know, when I was born, you won't believe this, but when I was born, I was 10 pounds, 3 ounces. So my mom gave birth to me naturally, but when I came out, she said to the doctor, don't you slap him, I want to slap him myself. Moms say irrational things. Now my mother was only 4 foot about 10. She's like this. This is about how tall my mom was. Japanese lady. Her name was Michie Takasaki. So, you know, straight from Japan. And just this teeny little thing. And she was short, but she was dangerous. She was well equipped in guerrilla warfare. Because, see, my brother and I would cut up. And she would get mad at us. And she'd swing this rice paddle at us. You know, come here, come here. And we were faster than she was. But she was smarter than we were. You have to remember, I'm half Portuguese. She's full Japanese, so I'm just half. So I only have half a mind. And so we'd run, and she knew that we would end up in our bedroom. So she'd just go straight to our bedroom. And because she was so short, she could hide under my bed without bending down. She just paid, and we'd come in, we think, wow, we got it. All of a sudden, she'd attack our legs. Ow, ow, ow. But she would say the most irrational things, you know. And I was thinking back, my brother and I were fighting one time, and she'd yell at us, if you guys are going to kill yourself, you go outside and do it. I said, okay, Gary, come outside and kill me, you know. She'd say the funniest things. I used to put quarters in my mouth. You know, I don't know why. Today, it's like, oh, no, you're going to die. Swine flu. But today, we just stick it in our, you know, in that day, we just stick it in our mouth. We'd chew on it. And I remember doing that once. And my mother said, if you swallow that quarter, it's going to come out your allowance. I thought, no, Mom. It's going to come out somewhere else first. So she'd just say these funny things that I look back. I remember she was changing my shirt one time. She looked at the ring around the collar and she said, look at your neck. Look at your neck. It's filthy. Till this day, I don't know how to look at my neck. Can you look at yours? Ma, I can't, Ma. One of the funniest was we were cutting up at the table and my mother would say, shut your mouth and eat your food. Mike, I don't want it to go now. But I bet your mother said this to you. She said it to us. She said this. Did you put on clean underwear? What if you get into an accident? Isn't that right? But Mom, if I get into an accident, clean underwear ain't going to help any, you know. Mothers. We celebrate moms. And today we're going to continue our walk through the book of James as we deal with words unspoken. Words that the Bible says you shouldn't say at all. And you say, well, how do we stop from saying those things? Did you know that you can communicate even with unspoken words? My mom did it really well. I remember we were in a funeral one time and my brother and I were cutting up. We're standing up on these pews, you know, and cutting up. And she didn't have to say a word. Mothers do that. You know, they just look at you. Unspoken words. You know exactly what she's saying. We're cutting up and she looked at us like. You know what she just said, right? We knew exactly. And it's like she continued. When you're with your mother, you know exactly what she's saying. Unspoken words. And we're going to talk about communicating. Communicating in ways that are helpful and sometimes not so helpful. But let's begin with James 4:11 and see what James is saying as words we should not say. Let's read it together. Go. Don't speak evil against each other, my dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize each other and condemn each other, then you are criticizing and condemning God's law. But you are not a judge who can decide whether the law is right or wrong. Your job is to obey it. What he's saying is this. Don't speak evil. Just those words you don't want to say. Now, if you speak evil, what you're saying is, I don't care what God's law says. In other words, he's saying you're criticizing God's law. When God says it, our job is to obey it, not to override it, not to rationalize it. You see, sometimes people think the Bible as God's law should loosen up a little bit. Just loosen it up. Because, see, the Bible is just archaic, they say. It's out of date. It's outmoded. But just because God's word is ancient, it doesn't mean it's outdated. Remember that. Just because his word or the Bible is ancient, it doesn't mean it's outdated. The air has been around since time began, but it ain't outdated. It can be as fresh every morning as it ever was. And God's word is timeless. Let me tell you one of the things that people do that's just the most devastating thing today. And you'll hear it all over. Well, God's, the Bible, oh, that's just outmoded. That's just archaic. That's the old way of doing it. We've grown up since then. Listen carefully. One of the greatest dangers of mankind today is when we take something that's timeless and we put a timeline on it. When you take something that's timeless, God's truth, and put a timeline on it. It's good for yesterday, but not for today. Can you see how you move into deception? And you never want to take that which is timeless and put a timeline on it. Well, that's old. No, it's timeless. That's why I tell people, I'm not old, I'm timeless. So God's laws shouldn't loosen up. In fact, if one guy said to me, Wayne, why don't God just loosen up his laws a little bit? It'd be easier for everybody. I said, no. You don't want God to loosen up his laws. He said, what? Said, yeah, if God loosened up his principles of gravity, orbit, all of his laws, the laws of nature, there would be a seismic collapse, a cataclysmic destruction of mankind within 24 hours. Did you know that astronomers today can predict to the minute and to the second the next solar eclipse back 21 years from now? And they'll tell you exactly what time it'll happen. You know why? Because they know in God's mathematics, everything is so precise. The orbit and the rotation of the planets, everything is so precise, like a huge universal clock. And it's so precise and so dependable that they can predict 21 years down the road exactly when the next solar eclipse will take place. But they say this, if the earth turned any slower, if God loosened up his laws and the earth turned any slower than it is now, or the moon were any closer than it is now because it affects tides, that mankind would alternately burn then freeze to death. because the rotation of the earth would be slower. And if the moon were closer, because of its effect on the tides, we would be inundated with two tidal waves every day. And after the first tidal wave, you won't even feel the seconds. If God loosened up his laws, that would be the end of mankind. And it just may be that that is how the earth will end when God says, I'm done striving with man, and pulls his hand off. No, you don't want God to loosen his laws. We want God to strengthen our hearts to cooperate with his laws. Can you say amen to that? So that's why James says, this is what God is saying. Don't say. Now, don't criticize that, because you'll be criticizing God's laws. Because there's going to be times in your life God will say something to you and you won't understand why he's saying it. But obedience is first. Understanding is second. Let me say that again. When it comes to faith, obedience is first. Understanding is second. Because if we wait till we understand this thing, obedience will have passed and destruction will be next. Your family will fall apart. Your heart will fall apart. You'll be deceived. You'll get gullible. Obedience is first. Understanding is second. Because so many times you won't understand why God says to do this. But you do it even though your flesh is warring against you. You do it and then later on you understand, wow, that was the best thing I could have done. So James says, don't speak evil against one another even though you might feel like it. Why? Let's read the next one, Galatians 5:15, just under it. Go. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. God is telling us what will happen. This will be the result. Yeah, but it takes discipline to not say those words that I want to say to people out on the freeway. Someone cuts me off. I want to preach to them. You want to. But listen, there's going to be two pains in life. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. You decide. Yeah, it's going to take some discipline. So you say, well, how do you stop those words from coming out? Because it just comes out. Well, here's what God is saying. The first thing is that you don't start with your mouth. You start not by putting a lid on it in your mouth. You start by putting a lid on it, your heart. That's where it starts. Because the Bible is going to tell us that it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. If you've got junk in, junk's going to come out. If you have anger within, anger's going to come out. It's going to taint everything that you say. It's going to have that edge to it. And it's got to be dealt with here first. So, what is the first thing that we have to do? Would you write down number one in your notes? The first thing, if we're going to learn to speak how we should and watch our mouths, number one, we've got to, would you write it in? Learn to build good treasure in your heart. Learn to build good treasure in your heart. Now, the Bible is going to say that there's two things we need to guard. And the first is our mouth. Let's read what Psalms 141 says. Go. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Yeah, the first is watch your mouth. But here's the second, which I think is even more important. Let's read the next one. Go. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? For from it flow the springs of life. You see, it's what's within that's going to come out. And if this is the source of everything, if you've got junk in the source, it's going to taint everything from then on. I tell people when I was a youth pastor up in Oregon, I used to take our kids to a place called Clark Creek, where it was a very rustic rural place at a state park. And our water source was an artesian spring that ran down the side of the mountain to a pool. And there we would take buckets of water, and that's what we would have for our drinks and our juices and stew and whatever else we were making. But we knew that the ranger would come every week at the beginning of the week and he'd test it. He'd take a little test tube and put some stuff in it and he'd shake it with some mixed with some of the spring water to see the content of the bacteria. And if it were normal or less than normal levels of bacteria, give me the thumbs up. Well, one week he did that and he said, stop drinking the water. I said, why? We've been drinking it for 2 days. He said, stop now. He then put on some boots, some mud boots, rubber boots, and began a trek up into the hills. to find out what was at the headwaters, at the artesian spring, at the source. About 3 hours later, he came back and said, "You can drink the water now." I said, "Okay, good. Now tell me why we couldn't and now we can." He said, "Well, I found that there was a dead deer in the spring and it had been decomposing for the last 4 days." I about threw up on his boots. He said, "I buried it, so now it's clear." You see, if there's something wrong at the source, everything that flows from it will be tainted. And that's why the Bible says to watch over, put a lid over your heart before you put it over your mouth, for from it will flow the springs of life. And so we've got to make sure that what's in our heart, you see, if there's anger in my heart because of something that happened 3 years ago with somebody in a church, and now I hate all churches, you watch, when that person talks about church, there's going to be an edge of anger on it. Isn't that right? It's not because it happens every week. It's because it happened 3 years ago, and he let that lodge in his heart. And now it spoils all the springs of life. If there's jealousy in my heart, I will have jealousy come out. If I have bitterness in my heart, every word I say will have an edge of bitterness. If I have fear in my heart, everything I say will be somehow couched in fear. And that's why the Bible says, be careful, because your heart is like a treasure chest. And if you build good treasure, you're going to have good stuff come out. If you've got bad stuff, you're going to have bad stuff come out. So can I encourage you to do this, and especially the sisters, make sure that you keep a lid on your heart. And when things come into your ears, if you judge that it's not what Jesus would say, and it won't build you up, and it won't help to make you a better person, don't you open that lid and let that in. It's like letting a dead possum in or some stink socks in, and then you put a skunk in, and then you put some ratty old junk in there. Well, after a while, every time you open your heart, it smells. Well, you keep your lid closed. And if it comes into your ears, and if someone calls you something, "You stupid person, you," would Jesus say that? No. Then you don't let it into your heart. See, a lot of times we have a lid on our heart that's stuck open. And when someone says something, whew, it goes right in. Another one, boom, good or bad, boom. And you've heard people say, "Man, that really got to me." Or you'll hear someone say, "Man, that really affected me deeply." Or, "I can't shake it." What happened? I let it into my heart and I shouldn't have. You keep that lid on your heart. And if it comes into your ears and you judge it as something that would not come from the throne of heaven, pull your other ear and that flushes the toilet. Just let it out. Because it's not going to go into my heart. And sometimes those words that are dangerous and wounding and hurtful words will come from your very own family. So when I keep my heart closed, it doesn't mean I dislike you. It just means I'm obeying God's word. Keep a guard over your heart with all diligence. Because if a dead deer is in there, it'll spoil the springs of your life. You say, "But Wayne, what if I've already let some bad stuff into my heart?" That's where you can come to Jesus Christ, the one who loves you the most, and he will give you a new heart. He will give you a brand new heart. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to him, because he can give you a new heart. And then he'll give you the wisdom to learn how to steward your heart. And it will affect everything in a good way. So the first is, we've got to learn how to build what kind of treasure? Good. Sometimes people come to me and they say, "You know, Wayne, I don't say this in public, but, you know, I say it over here. And I don't yell at people on the freeway, but I say it in here." No, Ecclesiastes says this. It's pretty interesting. Let's read it. Go. "Don't criticize the king, even silently. And don't criticize the rich, even in the privacy of your..." Yeah, because you see, you can develop your own bad treasure. "Yeah, but I don't say it out loud to anybody else." Doesn't matter. You're saying it to yourself. And you're toxifying your own heart. It's pretty bad when someone else toxifies my heart. It's worse when I do it to me. And so if I'm slandering people, if I'm criticizing, then I become a skeptic and I become a doubter. And I actually make myself someone who has a very difficult time trusting others and trusting God. Because I have somehow toxified my own heart. Well, I didn't say it to anybody. That's why the Bible says don't even say it in your bedroom. Because you're messing up your own heart. Here's one of the greatest prayers you can pray every morning. Here it is, folks. Lord Jesus, may my thoughts please you today. That's the best prayer you can pray. May my thoughts please you today. Because if your thoughts are pleasing to the Lord, you know that you're putting good treasure in your heart. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's read this next verse together. Go. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that what's inside is going to come out. Because, you see, we communicate in three ways. You can write them down. One, we communicate with our words. Or we communicate with our gestures. And we communicate with our spirit. Now, which of those three do you think is the most important way we communicate? Which of the three are the most important? Our spirit. Our spirit. Because you can, your words, for example, you can say, oh, Dad's home. You can do it with your gestures. Dad's home. Or you can communicate with your spirit. Dad's home. Do you see? Big difference. It's the spirit with which you say things that will change everything. So you've got to keep your spirit pure and right. And that's going to come from your heart. What's in your heart? So God says, be very careful of that. Now, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth what is good. You know what he's saying? He's saying the treasure that's on the inside is going to affect everything else on the outside. But it's on the inside. Sometimes we say, well, you know, he made me mad. The Bible says, no, you already had anger resident within you. Might have been in seed form. It's lying dormant within you, but your tendency to get angry is still in there. You're just not angry right now because no one's inciting it. But if someone did, rah, and it'd blow up. But where was that seed? In the other person? No, he didn't make you angry. He may have incited something inside of you and awakened it, but anger was already in you in dormant form. Well, she just made me jealous. No, jealousy was already lying in wait. The seeds of jealousy. Well, she got me so tempted that I messed up. No. Lust can be in my heart. And someone might incite it and awaken it, but I can't blame them. But you see, what we do is we blame everybody else. She made me do that. He made me do that. My mother made me like I am. My father made me like God made me like I am. The government, it's their fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. She shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have said that. That's why I swore. That's why I got angry. But it wasn't them. It's really me. It's stuff inside of me. Now, I'm going to say something that you need to listen to and then write down. Are you ready? Listen very carefully. If you have a tendency to blame other people, you give up the right and the power to change. Let me say that again. If you have the tendency to blame other people, you've just given up the right and the power to change. Because you see, if I'm always blaming you, I don't need to change. You watch people that have a tendency to blame everybody else. What's you? It's you. You need counseling, not me. You need to go to church, not me. You need to do this, not me. And we're always blaming. Well, it's the finances, it's the economy, it's this. That's why I'm over budget. And if we're constantly getting so eloquent and blaming others, you'll watch that person never change. He can go to church for 10 years, but he won't change. Because blame causes you to give up the right and the power to change. You stop changing. And one of the best things you can do is not blame. Because it's from the heart of man that the mouth speaks. Change this. Resolve the lust on the inside. Repent and resolve that jealousy. Resolve the seeds of anger that are lying dormant within you, just waiting for another encounter before it flares up again. And then you'll begin to see your words start to change and your heart will be pure, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Words Unspoken, a message given on Mother's Day sometime back by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero. On this Mother's Day, let's take a moment to remember and honor all our wonderful moms. Mom, throughout our lives, you've been a constant strength. You've been a gentle guide. Your love for us is a reflection of God's grace in its purest form. We celebrate you. We thank you. And we honor you on your special day. From our church family to you, Happy Mother's Day.